It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they're defunct.
They don't exist anymore?
They don't exist anymore. I just decided today. We should make a call, let them know, but I just decided they're out.
I would rather watch the painting guy. Who's the painting
Bob
guy?
Bob Ross.
I'd rather watch Bob Ross than watch my favorite baseball team play in Tampa.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What a matchup. It is bracket season. What a matchup. Your favorite team playing a game in Tampa or Bob Ross painting a lake and a mountain?
Give me the lake all day long.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think I would have to admit this clip was in my head a week ago Sunday when I had the day in Florida and the Blue Jays were in Tampa for that first series. And I thought about it. I've been to a Blue Jays game in Tampa. It was fine. The bases are out there, the dirt, the lines, and the people. It's really not that bad. It's not that different. But I think this was in my head a little bit. Like, I've already been. It's indoors. I'm in Florida. What am I going to do? Sit inside for a few more hours? It really wasn't up for that, so I didn't go. And having a cockatiel and an RV were also factors in my not wanting to drive 3 more hours.
Complicating factors. Yes, I understand.
Yes. It is our pleasure to welcome Brett Boone back to our show. Brett was on with us monthly last season, promoting his podcast and also just talking ball with us, which was really cool. We were excited to get the invite again. And so thank you, Brett. We're glad you're back.
You got it, guys. How you doing?
Good. The Brett Boone Podcast, an Odyssey original featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and all-around sports every week. My answer to a question of what the biggest story in baseball so far this season is, I don't know if this is right or just obvious, but I feel like it's got to be the pitcher injuries, even though that's nothing new. But the big names with Cole and Strider and Eury Pérez, I don't know, Brett, your thoughts on whether that sounds right to you and just, is there anything anybody can do about it?
Well, I kind of gathered a list of the pitchers and the big name pitchers that are out. Pivetta and Valdez just, they're out right this week. Bieber, Strider, Cole, Verlander's not pitching, Scherzer's not pitching, DeGrom's not pitching, Giolito, Alcantara. So the list goes on and on, and that's just starting pitchers, There's some big Bautista and Hendricks, big-time closers not pitching right now. I don't know. I've talked to a lot of ex-teammates or teammates of mine that were obviously pitchers because as position players, we try to stay away from those guys for the most part. But I've tried to be kicking around, what is it? Is it a combination of things, and I have a lot of questions for these guys, and I get different answers. I talked to a buddy of mine, a former reliever, closer, and in the beginning of his year was a spot starter. He said the weighted ball nowadays. He said, we used to use the weighted ball, but they throw it at a much harder velocity. So that was it. The sticky stuff, now you get kind of shook down by the umpire in between innings to see if you have any sticky substance. That doesn't mean back in my day they weren't using it. It wasn't a thing, so they didn't check for it. Now, without that, and you're used to using that all the time, does that make a difference? The pitch clock, I don't know. Do they need more time in between pitchers? Here's what I came. I talked to doctors. I talked to trainers of mine, a buddy of mine, Rick Griffin, who was a trainer in Seattle for 30 years. I took his input. Two things came to mind to me. I think it has to do with today's kids, how they play baseball. They play year-round. They're playing Little League when they're 10, 11, 12 years old. There's a pitch limit. You can only throw X amount of pitches, and if you do, you can't pitch for another 3 or 4 days. I think that's good to have those in place. Problem is, these parents take those kids on Saturday when little Johnny throws 65 pitches and he's on a different travel ball team on Sunday where he's throwing again. So I think that is the biggest thing. I think coupled with the minor leagues, I think they really baby these guys in the minor leagues. You know, and as far as the athlete today, the athlete is much better, bigger, stronger, faster. We always talk about that. But in the minor leagues, it's like, okay, we're limiting you to 20, you know, this and that. There's always numbers. Then you get to the big leagues, and it's like, air it out and get it done for us. So is that a part? I don't know. There's so many different things that I've gone through in my mind. I've been banging my head on the desk. I think it's finally coming to fruition. That how we come up as kids in today's times where, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, we played baseball, football, basketball. We gave our arms a rest. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, these kids are starting to, you know, hey, we're just going to concentrate on baseball, which I think is the worst thing you can do. But I think we're seeing it come to fruition now. 20 years ago, all the Tommy John surgeries, they were all done on who? Big leaguers. And then it went to big leaguers and minor leaguers. Now there's more youth baseball amateur baseball players getting Tommy John than the professional leagues combined. So I don't know. It's really interesting, but whatever they're doing, they got to kind of find it in the day and age of data. We have a number for everything. There's got to be something where we can keep these big guys healthy.
I'm glad to hear you mention the sticky stuff and gripping the ball. I came across this week, like Mike is alluding to here, that this is, you know, one of the biggest stories at the start of the baseball season. I think because of that, in my social media feeds, I came across a 2-year-old clip of Tyler Glasnow talking about how different his arm felt after he had to change his grip because of the sticky stuff. And that, like, the next day after a throwing session, you know, gripping his fastball just a little bit deeper in his hand, changing the fingering, whatever, that the his muscles felt different. His arm felt different from that change. I think, you know, anything so subtle, like, that might sound like excuse making, like blaming the man for changing the balls or whatever, or outlawing some of the sticky stuff. I think the subtlest things can make a difference. Here's an example. I'm not a ball player, but I'm playing a lot of golf. And a number of times this year, I went to practice without golf shoes, just regular sneakers. Like, it's fine. I don't need them. The first time I put my golf shoes back on and went to the range, the next day my calves hurt. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I wonder why my calves hurt. Maybe because they were gripping the surface a little better, torquing those muscles in a way that the sneakers weren't torquing them. And, like, there it is. Like, I think the grip thing makes a lot of sense to me, is all I'm going a long way to say that.
No, without a doubt. And all I can do as a fellow golfer, and we got the Masters this week, all I can suggest to you is get a more comfortable shoes.
No, my shoes are fine. I appreciate that. The point is, I wasn't wearing them, and then when I started, it made a difference, and, like, now I'm fine. Yeah.
Of course. No, that, and you're right. It can be the most subtle of things. I mean, off season, training, taking ground balls, all of a sudden, I throw my spikes on and standing on hard ground during spring training. It was an adjustment for me. Yeah. I needed to get back into that. And you're right. It's just these subtle things. That's why I threw the sticky stuff out there. I didn't throw a ball for a living. I fielded ground balls. Yeah, I actually threw, but not like in the pitcher's right. vein. So I don't want to come across as I'm this expert and this is the reason. I'm just thinking of rational reasons this could happen. And if you come up from youth baseball with the sticky stuff, And you use it for 10 years, and all of a sudden they say, no, you can't use it anymore. Well, my whole childhood and early developing professional career has been done with this, and all of a sudden I can't anymore. You're right. You're going to grip the ball a little different. Maybe you're going to put a little more emphasis on it. So, yeah, the little things like that I don't think we can rule out. But as a whole, there's got to be something done, and I don't know what it is. I look at my time. We tend to always look at my time, you know, mm-hmm. which was the 90s and the early 2000s. Yeah, there were injuries that came up, without a doubt. But it just seems more and more like now, man, there's a lot of them. And I look at the way they calculate. We've got all the data in the world and everything. And this guy's on a pitch count, and that guy's on a pitch count, and he's on a pitch count. 15, 20 years ago, yeah, there were pitch counts. But they were reasonable, and they were much higher than they are today. I especially see it in the minor league. And I think we first came to see it at the beginning of Strasburg's career, where they were going to hold him out of the playoffs because of the pitch count. I think it all started there, and I just think there's got to be some tweaks. We've got to figure it out. Somebody that knows more about that throwing mechanic every fifth day or as a reliever every day or every other day. I don't know. Somebody's got to figure it out.
With Brett Boone, last year we talked probably more about the AL East than any other division. Of course, your brother Aaron managing the Yankees, and we've got Toronto, you know, big-name teams. The Orioles became the story of that division, and they're so interesting right now. I mean, all this young talent, you're talking about the minors, if you know. I mean, Baltimore's got a half a dozen more guys in AAA that seem like they might be ready to play, but there's no room for them. They traded a couple of those guys to get Corbin Burns. And now it's Jackson Holliday making his major league debut today for Baltimore. I'd love to hear you talk about them. And also, I thought maybe it could be interesting with Holliday's father having been a major leaguer in Matt Holliday. And I wonder if you would say about that experience for you, Brett, that that was like all good. Was there like pressure, added pressure, having your dad having been a good major, very good major league player for a long time? What was that like exactly being the son of a, you know, a well-known player?
Well, I'll tell you, I was the first third generation. So I had grandpa and dad.
Right.
And to be honest with you, and to this day, until the day that my grandfather passed, you know, I had a great relationship and love them both to death, respect them both to death, and very proud of the groundwork they laid before my time. But I'll tell you, as a minor leaguer, I started to get not angry, but I started to resent the press because, you know, I remember my AAA season and I'm going city to city, and it seemed like every city we got to, it was like, well, you know, what's it like, your dad and your grandpa? And I said, let's talk about me hitting 330. I don't care what dad and grandpa did. They ain't going to get me to the big leagues. So I kind of had that attitude. Once you establish yourself as a major league player, that kind of goes away, and it's all about you and the team. But I had to go through that. No, I never felt any pressure. I had great parents, never put any pressure on me, presented me with baseball at an early age, obviously, and dad tells the story. You know, I just give him the family business and hope he embraced it, and he happened to, and my brothers did as well. So I really didn't feel any pressure at all, and that's just me speaking for myself. I talked to other kids of big league players, and they said they felt a little bit of pressure. So I think it's an individual thing. Jackson Holliday, he's so good. Matt Holliday was a hell of a player. I played against him. Great career in the big leagues. But Jackson Holliday, this kid's the real deal. I mean, he's over two seasons in the minor leagues. He's a career 320. Something ridiculous his on-base percentage has been at the minor league level, like a 450 clip. I've seen him interviewed. Seems like a good kid, but you can tell he's got a pep in his step, and he knows he's good. Yeah. And the fact that he's getting to big leagues at 21, that speaks for itself. As far as the Baltimore, you know, you alluded to the Baltimore – ton of talent at the big league level, at the minor league level. You know, right now they're sitting at 6-4. I thought this was going to be an okay division. Boston's really the one that surprised me, getting out to a 7-4 start. They're leading all of baseball in the pitching category. And the Yankees, I'll tell you, I always keep an eye out on Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Expect a 10-2 start from this team, especially with their big guy Cole going down. But seems like the other guys in the rotation are really stepping up. Stroman hasn't given up a run yet. Rodon had a disastrous year ago. He started off great. Nestor Cortez just pitched 8 innings, no hit or no run baseball a couple days ago. And Schmidt rounds that out. If they can, you know, that Yankee team, they've got enough firepower with that Soto coming over, and he's just added a spark. Aaron Judge, to me, when healthy, the best offensive player in all of baseball. The key for the Yankees is just going to be health. I think that Baltimore team's going to be good. I don't think they're quite ready to win that division yet. And we haven't even talked about Toronto, who's kind of falling below expectations to start the year with a really talented pitching staff.
How important or damning? Like, how beneficial or penal can the start be? Like, if you're off to a good start, like the Yankees or the Red, maybe the Red Sox are a better example because they weren't expected to be good. Like, is this just an aberration? Like, will they find their 500-ish level here really soon, you think? Or can they keep it up? And conversely, a team you mentioned in Toronto, they're only 6-6, so it's not like they're dead or anything early, but like, you know, how tough is it to dig out of a hole if you dig yourself one?
Well, it depends how deep that hole is. You know, for me, it's always when you're hot, follow the hot hand, get as many wins under your belt as possible because they're the dog days of summer for a reason. You're going to come up on a streak where you don't play very well, you get dinged up, some of your key guys go down. So compile as many wins as you can when they're there for the taking. Toronto, just to me, you know, I've been watching this Toronto team for a long time. I just thought, when is that unbelievably talented offense just going to take over and do a Texas Rangers type act? And it's just never come together. And I look at that. I picked them to win the division this year. I look at Berrios and Bassett and Gausman, who I think one day I picked to win a Cy Young. Kikuchi's doing a great job for him. But it seems like they're always, you know, there's three guys in starting lineup hitting over 200. You know, Vlad and Bichette and Springer are 200 or under. They're the three big guys. And I just seen this underachieving out of Toronto for a while now. And I'm wondering if it's ever going to change or is it not going to change? It's an interesting division to me. Everybody picked Baltimore. They love the young players and a lot of talent in that organization. But I just look at it and I think, well, Burns, that was huge. Burns is a Cy Young candidate, top of that rotation, teaching those younger players. It's just, are they ready yet? For me, I don't know if Baltimore is ready yet to be a real contender. And when I mean a real contender, that's going deep into the postseason.
Brett, by the way, I mentioned we talked about Jackson Holliday and his father and then you and your lineage in baseball. Today is Ken Griffey Sr.'s birthday. I saw 74.
Yeah, Ken played with Kenny Jr. and Ken Griffey Jr. or Ken Griffey Sr. was my hitting coach on at least two different occasions in Cincinnati. So
okay,
birthday to Kenny and
you know his playing career ended the year before yours started with the Mariners. He was on the team with his son in 91, and then you debuted in 92. But you know he was a coach of yours and. Just, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would love to hear something about Junior, you know, his legendary career. Thurman Thomas, who's a friend of ours, is, I think, friendly with Griffey. I've never met him, but, you know, an all-time great.
Ken Griffey Jr., he's the first humble pie I got to see in my baseball career. I got through the minor leagues pretty quick. I got to the big leagues, and I kind of thought I was hot stuff. Like, I'm really good. You know, I got to the big leagues, and Kenny and myself were the same age. And this is, you know, Kenny's third year. He's been a three-time All-Star, and I'm just getting to the big leagues, getting my feet wet. And I'm watching him on a daily basis, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, I thought I was good. I'm nothing. This guy's a freak. And when I say freak, I mean that in the best of ways. Kenny was just wise beyond his years, just ahead of the rest of us. Best player I've ever played with, and I got to play with some pretty darn good players. Ken Griffey Jr., all-around player, best I've ever played with. And he was special. I mean, I remember sitting there grinding early in my career with Edgar Martinez, helping me out with tonight's pitcher. All right, Booney, this is what he's probably going to try to do to you. And Kenny walked by with his hat on backwards and, you know, he'd look over. He's like, what are you guys trying to figure out tonight? I said, Kenny, us normal people, we got to formulate a plan going into tonight's game. And he just looked at me and go, Booney, I just see ball, hit ball. And then he'd wander off. And Edgar would look at me and go, don't listen to him. so he was that type. But Kenny was really, you know, the first guy that was my age that actually mentored me when I got to the big leagues. He really was like a big brother, even though we're the same age. Just because of the time he'd been in the big leagues. And he would take, not in a public way, but on the side. Because when I first came up, it was a struggle for me that first 6 weeks in the big leagues. A huge adjustment. And Kenny would take me aside, you know, when no one was around and just give me little tips here and there. And I really appreciated that. Loved playing with him. Didn't get to play with him that long. You know, we had a couple years together. Mm-hmm. But to this day, still good good buddies. And that's my Ken Griffey pitch right
Love it.
There.
Yeah.
It's nothing but positive.
The swing, you know, it strikes me listening to you talk about him that even casual fans, I'll bet, can still, you say his name, and if you think about it for a few minutes, you can see the swing, like you can picture it. And, you know, depending on how big a baseball fan you are, maybe you've got 100 guys that are like that, or 10, I don't know, but Griffey is definitely on that list, I'll bet, for a lot of people.
Well, I think so. And I recently had him on my podcast, and we talked about that. I said, Kenny, is it weird for you? Because we're getting a little bit older. I said, but there'll be a 5-year-old that comes up to you, and they know Ken Griffey Jr., and they know that swing. So he kind of transcends eras, you know. It's almost like a Michael Jordan for baseball. It's junior, and you're known by one name, and everybody knows that famous swing. And a lot of the kids that are probably asked Kenny on a regular basis for his autograph weren't even born the last time he hit a baseball, or have never seen him play. But it's just, it's synonymous. It just goes junior, and that swing and that logo that everybody knows. Really a special guy.
Remember hearing people argue about his wearing his hat backwards and how that was such a scandal.
Could you imagine now?
I know.
Compared to nowadays, yeah. Whoa.
That's as good as maybe anything. That's as good as maybe anything for, you know how things, you know how times are different? Let me tell you how times are different.
Right.
We used to argue about whether a guy really cared about his job because he wore his hat backwards. Like, that actually was a conversation.
Right. When really it was just he was branding himself before branding was a thing.
Right. He invented it. Very good. Thank you, Brett. Once again, glad to have you back this year. We'll talk again in a few weeks.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Brett Boone, the Brett Boone Podcast, an Odyssey original. Follow the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We started today with news that a receiver was visiting the Bills. There is news that another receiver is visiting the Bills. And I found a mock draft, and it's not Mitchell. I found a mock draft that puts this guy on the Bills at 28. We get back to that after this timeout. Chris Trapasso coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.